Hi there, welcome to Big Jim's Garage. I'm your host, Big Jim O'Brien, host of Morning Show in Detroit, Michigan. But it's really all about cars, and I know recently on our podcast we've been talking a lot of racing. But here in the Motor City, one of these like unicorn vehicles has been the Bronco. And I think it's all over the country now. Joey Caparella joins us for Car and Driver. Good morning, Joey.
Hi, how's it going?
Wonderful. Boy, your piece last week just caught my attention about the Bronco, the 2021 Ford Bronco, what we know so far. Doesn't this kind of feel like a unicorn car? Like it's out there somewhere, but we just haven't seen it.
It does. We've been talking about it for so long, and I think the anticipation is really building. And Ford's kind of been teasing us for years now. I mean, they announced that it was coming back back in 2017. So we've really been kind of waiting around it, you know, really latching onto any tidbits we can get. And they've even, you know, been showing this car to media, sort of sneak previews and little teasers here and there. So, yeah, the hype is building for sure.
Do you think this is a function of just trying to build talk, or Ford really feels like they've got a winner here?
Well, I think the name carries so much weight. I mean, everyone remembers the Bronco from the 90s and the 80s and before, and it has this long history. It's a name that just carries this certain, I don't know what it is, but it's just a highly anticipated car, and it's been gone for a while, and the Jeep Wrangler has really, really grown in popularity. And so I think people are really eager to see if Ford can really make a challenge to Jeep, because the Wrangler is really kind of at the height of its popularity. There was a new Wrangler that just came out last year. And so is Ford going to really challenge them? That's kind of the question on everybody's mind.
So is there an opening for Ford here in that market with Jeep, with the Wrangler? Because I got to be honest, I still don't understand the Blazer. I was waiting for the Blazer to come out. And maybe I'm just dumb. I expected something totally different, and all it did is look like every other SUV that Chevrolet has.
Yeah, I think Chevy kind of pulled the number on everyone by using that name for this new model that's really nothing like what the Blazer was before. They're kind of banking on the heritage of that name, but I think they actually pissed some people off by making it completely not what they expected. And I actually think the Blazer is good for what it is, but it's just not what you think of when you think of a Blazer. But I think that there's a lot of room here, because the better example of this kind of car is the Toyota 4Runner, which has been around for forever. It's a truck-based SUV. It's off-road capable, and that actually has been going up in sales recently. So despite the fact that it's old, it hasn't been really updated in a while, it's pretty outdated, people are still buying it in big numbers. And so I think that shows, you know, the Wrangler obviously has this part of the market locked down, but even Toyota with this kind of uncompetitive vehicle is still finding a lot of people who really want this kind of old school SUV. So to me, that shows that there is space for the Bronco here, and there's been rumors about GM still doing some sort of truck-based SUV that have gone back and forth. So everyone's clearly trying to hedge on this and see, is it going to work? And I think Ford seems the most committed so far to making the Bronco really an authentic off-road 4x4 that's going to live up to the name. So we'll just have to wait and see until next year to see if they can do it. But based on what we know so far, which is, you know, what I talked about in my article, it seems pretty promising.
Well, and I'm as a Jim Heinrich, who am I thinking about last year? One of the folks from Ford, when they brought some people out to Design Dome out here in Dearborn, Michigan, and they talked a little bit about the Bronco, and they acknowledged it, and they showed us the logo, you know, and then the teaser photo, which you have in yours, which is a wonderful piece again. But he intentionally used the word Moab, and he said, you don't have to go all the way to Moab to go off-roading. People who drive Broncos like to go off-roading in their own backyard. I'm obviously paraphrasing what he said, but the gist of it was, that's a direct shot at Jeep Wrangler. I don't need to drive 2,000 miles to prove a point that Ford Bronco people can drive anywhere. And that's to your point in the bigger picture. It sure feels like they're going right after Jeep and the Wrangler.
Oh, for sure. I mean, they're openly throwing shade at Jeep with this. I mean, they, I think, are jealous of all the success that Jeep has had, because, you know, Ford sells a lot of trucks and SUVs, obviously. But other than the Raptor, they haven't really had this kind of dedicated off-road focus from any of their models. I mean, if you look at models like the Escape or the Edge, those are really car-based crossovers that have this very on-road kind of look. So they've seen this huge growth with that Jeep has had with really playing up this rugged aesthetic. And even if you look at Subaru, I mean, Subaru's marketing has really played up this idea of adventurousness and going camping, and Ford just hasn't really capitalized on that. So I think they're placing a lot of importance on the Bronco to kind of kick off this new era where they're really going to show, hey, look, we've got rugged off-road SUVs too, because that is just such a proven success across the market.
What are we expecting underneath the hood in the Bronco?
Sorry?
What are we expecting underneath the hood in the Bronco? What are we expecting for a power plant?
So far, we're thinking that it's definitely going to have the 2.3-liter EcoBoost that's in the Ranger. So that's a four-cylinder. There was a parts database that basically leaked that secret out. There's been other reports that it might have the 2.7-liter EcoBoost V6 that's in the F-150, but that's just a rumor so far. I think that if they want to offer more variety than the Wrangler, they're also going to have a hybrid. So we know the Wrangler has a mild hybrid. It's going to have a plug-in hybrid. The Wrangler also has a diesel, which I'm not sure if Ford will go after that, just because diesel has become a big question in the U.S. market.
Right.
But I think that they will try to go for as much variety as they can, just because of what Jeep offers.
Is there any, we talk a lot, Joey, about like here in Detroit and around the country, when you're watching the pickup wars going on right now between the big three, and you're seeing Ram pretty much firmly entrenched, or at least they're number two, and it's hard to get people to get off the, I'm a Ram truck driver, I'm an F-150, I'm a Silverado guy. Is there going to be a point where the guy who walks into the dealership to get an F-150 looks over and goes, ooh, I like that Bronco, maybe I'll get that instead? So then Ford's just really robbing Peter to pay Paul.
Yeah, I think that's totally the case. They've got all these Ford loyalists who are obviously going to be interested in this. But also, I think that there's people out there who have been buying Jeeps, you know, because the Wrangler is kind of the only game in town in terms of a really old school off-road SUV. So there's maybe some Wrangler buyers who aren't necessarily Jeep loyalists, but who are looking for this vehicle and can't really find it elsewhere. So I think Ford has a lot to gain there in terms of people who see Jeep as this nice option for what they desire, but aren't necessarily diehard Jeep people. So the Bronco could really attract a lot of attention away from the Wrangler, just because it's going to be the hot new thing. The Wrangler's already a pretty established, well-known entity, even though there's a new one recently. The Bronco, I think, is going to hog its fair share of the attention.
And this is also, I would imagine, a huge marketing undertaking for Ford to try to change the mindset of Jeep people, or at least to get them to even consider an option, is going to be a significant investment.
Yeah, that's definitely an uphill battle, just because the Bronco hasn't been around for decades. So to kind of remind people, hey, this is what Bronco is and this is what it means, the marketing's going to have to be really strong. And I think they're already kind of showing that. I mean, there's a section on Ford's website currently that is just for the Bronco. It doesn't show anything, obviously, but it's got all these things of, you know, rocks and trees and off-road paths. And they're definitely playing up that angle already, so you can see that early in the game.
I know you mentioned earlier too, and you mentioned in your piece, so we anticipate maybe being able to go doors off like a Wrangler with this one, with the Bronco?
Yeah, we've had two pieces of evidence that suggest that. One was information from a dealer meeting where Ford showed the car, and then another was a patent, actually, where it was showing the system for taking off the doors. And it wasn't showing it on a Bronco necessarily, but we're pretty certain that this arrangement for being able to take off the doors is going to be for this vehicle.
Was there talk? Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's definitely going directly after the Wrangler, because that's kind of something unique that the Wrangler has that you can't get anywhere else.
Was there, I remember like hearing, when we were seeing here some of the prototypes for, and you've got photos of it as well, is there going to be a baby Bronco as well, or is that just the Ranger mule that we're seeing and people kind of turned it around?
There is going to be a baby Bronco, but it's going to be pretty, sorry, the baby Bronco is going to be pretty unrelated to the actual Bronco. So what the baby Bronco is actually a basically a version of the Ford Escape with a more boxy body. So it'll be a car-based crossover, sort of like a Jeep Renegade or a Jeep Cherokee, where it looks rugged, but it's actually, you know, a unibody. It's not a body-on-frame truck underneath. So the Baby Bronco is essentially like a styling exercise for them to capitalize on this rugged image in a more accessible on-road package. So it'll, compared to the Escape, it will have a more sophisticated all-wheel drive system. It will be a little bit more off-road capable, but it's not just a smaller version of the full-on Bronco. It's just, it's a different thing that's kind of trying to look similar.
And we don't want to, and I would assume that's going to come out after they unveil the Bronco.
I actually think that the Baby Bronco is going to come first.
Really?
Based on what I've heard from Ford, that is further along in development than the Bronco is. Because the Bronco is definitely going to be a 2021 model year. And I think that this Baby Bronco could arrive within the next few months. And it sort of would serve as, like, you know, a way to build hype even further. You know, I don't know if they're necessarily going to call it Bronco. There's been some back and forth on the name. But it's definitely going to be kind of leading up to the real Bronco.
Do you think that I'm not sure that's a good idea. I'm serious. Joey, am I overthinking this, or it feels like that's not a good idea. The Bronco that I want to see first and foremost is the real Bronco.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I think that's what everyone's really waiting for. But I think in terms of the market, and if you look at sales numbers for cars like the Cherokee or the Renegade, that there is a huge market for that. People who want to look like they're rugged, but they don't actually want the trucky off-road capability. They just want to have that image. So I get what you're saying in terms of the order of it. People want to see the Bronco, and then they can see the Baby Bronco. But I think Ford is just operating on a certain timetable. I mean, these cars have been in development for years now, so it might just be a logistical thing where this car's ready and the Bronco's not quite ready yet.
I was driving into work this morning, and I drive past FCA's headquarters in Auburn Hills, Michigan, and they had the they had their Ram truck there for years, for months, hanging up the big banner on the side of the building. Well, now it's the Gladiator.
Yeah, the Gladiator has made a big splash for sure. I mean, it's a Jeep first and foremost, but that's another thing where people have been waiting for this. There had been rumors for years. There's been spy photos. There's been reports. So there was a huge amount of anticipation, and you know, it really speaks for itself. I mean, it's a Wrangler pickup. It's cool. It's off road. It's, you know, it does all these things that you expect from a Jeep. And then there's actually a rumor, which is really interesting, that Ford might be trying to do something like that. So obviously Ford already has the F-150 and the Ranger, two pickups in different sizes. There's a rumor now that they might do a pickup version of the Bronco, which, you know, early in the history of the Bronco, there were Bronco pickups.
Yeah.
But they've seen what the Gladiator has done and all the, you know, huge attention it's gotten. And I think that they're, again, a little jealous. And so maybe they'll try to do something similar based on the Bronco.
What sales numbers do you think Ford is looking for?
I think it's hard to tell at this point. I mean, most car companies are pretty cagey about giving estimates, but I think that they'll try to go after the Wrangler. I mean, the Wrangler has been selling in huge numbers recently. Some of that was because they were selling the old Wrangler and the new Wrangler alongside each other, but I think that Ford is hoping for some good volumes here, and it'll be really interesting to see if, you know, are they going to take a lot of sales away from the Wrangler and therefore that segment will kind of stay even? Or is there more room? Is it just going to add on top of what the Wrangler's already doing?
Well, and it's interesting to me too, Joey, that, like, I was thinking about this, that we talk about halo cars, you know, the thing that maybe it's not large numbers, but it represents what the brand's capable of. For the C8R, for Chevrolet, obviously, with the, you know, the Corvette, the Gladiator in a lot of ways to me is what Jeep goes, look what we can do. Look how we're evolving our brand, you know, and getting and growing. And for Ford, this is their halo, right? I mean, this is like,
totally.
Check out what we've done. Like, we've not only embraced the past, but we've made it better, and it's still badass.
Totally. And I think what these cars, like these halo cars, do is they get people's attention. They get people to go to the dealership. They want to look at it. And there's bound to be tons of people who think they want a Bronco. They see the ads. They're excited about it. They go into the dealership. They realize it's not really what they want. They might not be able to afford it. They end up buying maybe the baby Bronco, maybe the Escape, maybe, you know, a Ranger. But it's getting them in the door, and, you know, that's what a vehicle like the Bronco does. It gets lots of attention. It builds hype. It builds the brand. It gets people interested in Ford again. And even if it's not going to be the top seller in Ford's lineup, they can trace it back and say, well, these people were interested in the Bronco. They came into the dealership, eventually bought something else, but that's a win for Ford.
Yeah, and the very first concept drawing you have up there that is beautiful. How close do you think that is to what, I mean, the one that you had from Ben Summerall, is it Yaud, from Fox, that had put this concept drawing of the Ford Bronco? How close do you feel in your gut is that to what we're going to see?
I hope it's close. I mean, I think
I do too, man. It's badass.
Ford would be glad if we should be glad if it looks that cool. I mean, based on this teaser they've showed us, it's definitely going to be boxy. Mm-hmm. It's definitely going to have a rear-mounted spare tire, and that's directly from Ford. So we were kind of making our best guess based on what we know and based on what we've seen from Ford and just general background information that we've gotten. So I'm hoping that's pretty close.
It is beautiful. And yeah, and Joey, I appreciate the time so much. It's going to be built here. We're looking at Wayne, the Wayne plant here in the Motor City where they did the Focus in the C-Max, right?
That's right, yeah. So they were building Broncos there years ago when the Bronco was still in production, obviously, and then they kind of made a shift and were building small cars there and hybrids. But now they've pretty much canceled all of their car nameplates. So the Focus, the C-Max, the Fusion will eventually go away. The Taurus is gone. And, you know, they've seen this market shift to SUVs, and they stand to gain a lot from that. So they're going to be retooling. Well, they've already retooled the plant, one of their plants to build the Ranger, and they're going to be, I'm sure they're already, you know, working to retool the Wayne plant to build the Bronco. So that'll be where it's all coming together.
So since they're building that here in the Motor City, are they more likely to unveil it here next summer in the Motor City as well?
I would be surprised if they didn't unveil it somewhere in Michigan. That's definitely going to be a big part of the story. It's possible that it could be at the next Detroit Auto Show, which will be in June. I mean, that timing would make a lot of sense for the Bronco. That seems like where it's heading towards, but it's hard to say because a lot of automakers have sort of moved away from auto shows and like to do things on their own terms and have separate events. So it's possible that Ford could do something like that.
I'm trying to figure out who their spokesperson would be. I keep thinking about Mike Rowe for some reason.
Yeah, he definitely fits that mold.
Yeah, you wonder, like you said, you're marketing it to, you know, if you're going after a Wrangler audience, you need somebody who's, you can't just have, it's got to have attitude even in the pitch to it, right? I mean, the Bronco has to come off, again, I keep using this word, it has to be badass when you see it.
Yeah, they'll definitely be pulling out all the stops for the whole marketing campaign and the talk around this vehicle. So I would expect some big names to be associated with it.
As long as it's not Peyton Manning, I'm fine. Anyway, that's just me being scarred. So, okay, so Joey, real quick, I got you on the phone here. Joey Caparelli, Car and Driver. What else are you working on? What's coming up?
Well, at Car and Driver, we're working on our 10 Best Awards right now. So this is an annual thing we do every year where we pick our favorites. So, stay tuned for more to come on that. We're doing our testing right now, and we'll be picking our award winners and announcing them in the next few months.
So give me one. What's one car this year that jumped out at you when you were driving it?
Well, the Honda Accord, which doesn't seem like the most exciting choice, has won our award many, many times in our history, more than any other car. So every year we kind of come back to that and say, is it still good? Is it still worth winning? You know, is it still the choice in this segment? And I think we were all pretty unanimous in really loving everything about it again this year. So they had a new Accord pretty recently, and it's still just it's not an expensive car, but it feels like an expensive car, and it really does everything well. So not the most exciting choice, but that's kind of the solid one we keep coming back to.
Yeah, for me, like the Santa Fe, great ride. It was a great ride. I mean, just,
yeah, there's a lot of affordable cars these days that are really so solid, and you know, they offer so many features. It's like it makes you wonder why you'd even bother opting for a luxury car.
Yeah, then I say that, and then I just spent a week driving the M4 CS Coupe from Beema. So, you know, It's all relative.
There's certain things they still do well.
That was one of them. Man, that was really fun. I appreciate all the information. Joey taking the time out. Joey Caparella, Car and Driver here, the 2021 Ford Bronco, what we know so far. CarandDriver.com, probably the best way to get that on your specific blog area.
Yeah, CarandDriver.com. Look for Ford Bronco. It'll be there.
Stay in touch. Thank you for the time, Joey. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks a lot.
All right, there he goes. Joey Caparella from Car and Driver about the Bronco. Want to wrap up talking about a week that I spent driving the BMW M4 CS Coupe. Yeah, that one. It's $112,000. I mentioned the price not because, wow, look at you drove this expensive car. If you've seen an M4, and they're just, it's a beautiful car. But the CS version, they took about 400 pounds off this car. It doesn't even have door handles. It has a strap when you get in the car. There's no real shoulder rest on either side. There's no center console. And then when you're driving it, you're like, okay, well, it's a race car. That's how you start thinking of that mindset. And I had a chance to really get it on the road and drive it both in freeway and city. Now, what are you talking about? 3-liter BMW twin power turbo, 6-cylinder, of course. The double clutch transmission I really want to mention because I have never experienced a transmission like that. That was the smoothest transmission ever. And the kind of power that you're feeling while you're driving that, especially with the direct injection in this motor, there's a lot of power there. But the power band, it was seamless driving the car. The M-Drive stuff, all the M-Dynamics, it's a BMW. It's going to drive great. And this one drove even better than I expected. But there's things about the car, and this is what I keep coming back to. We talk about a connected car all the time. All the time. You're driving a connected car. You've got Apple CarPlay. You've got lane departure. You've got reactive braking. You've got all these different systems that are supposedly all under the umbrella of connected. But think about it. A connected car is necessary because you're not connected to the driving experience. See what I'm saying? Cars have become kind of blah to drive. The steering's mushy. You have acceleration, but it's not great. It's a very soft ride. Then you just go out and drive the car. So the connected car is because we're disconnected, and not just by our phones, which is a fact. We all know that. But by the ride itself. I have never been more connected to a car than I was to the BMW, the M4 CS. When you're driving the car, and it's not fear or anything like that, you feel the road. They call it the ultimate driving machine, and I get it. I get it. I totally get it. I felt more alive driving a car than, God, it's the last time I felt that way was driving a GTR a couple of years ago. Seriously, it's that level, that feel in this car. Everything about it. Now, I've put pictures up. If you want to go to WCSX.com, local radio station here in Detroit, we put photos up. You can follow me on Twitter as well. I was sharing a lot of it, WCSX Jim. The way this car sets up on the road, the way it rolls through corners, the stability of it, and then still knowing that if you needed to, and I don't know when you'd ever need to outside of a track, you can get gone in a New York minute. But there was something unbelievably connected about driving that car. It was a great feeling. I didn't think about my phone. I didn't think about work. I didn't think about what chores needed to be done or when am I going to put the camper away for the fall or how are the Lions doing this week or what's going on with my fantasy football team. I focused on the road. I enjoyed the drive. I was anticipating how I was going to pass somebody or if I could find a corner to feel the car, how it rolled in there. I'm telling you, it's just an amazing car. Is it for everybody? No, it's $112,000. But like I was talking about earlier with Joey, every manufacturer has a halo car. In BMW, it's the i8, right? I would assume at this point. But honestly, the i8 was an amazing ride. But I had just as much fun, if not more so, driving this. I'm telling you, if you got one, what was the thing? Is it Ferris Bueller? If you have the chance, you must, because it's so nice. It was. It was an amazing ride. I can't say thanks enough to the folks at BMW, even for the opportunity to spend a week in a car that I will never get my hands on, other than an auto show if I run my hand across it. But there's something to be said about driving and being connected to the car. And to go back to what I originally said, the connected car of today, it's not the same. It's just not the same. The whole idea that we connect cars because we don't care what we're driving on the road, that we just want to get in some little cube and whip down the freeway or drive somewhere. No, there's still a group of people that really care about driving. There's a group of people that enjoy the experience, and BMW gets it. So the BMW N4 CS Coupe, I'll give it an A for awesome and fun. And I know fun starts with F, but I'm not giving it an F. So it's an A for fun. There you go. All right. We are done. That was a lot of fun. Again, Joey Caparella talking about the Bronco, a little bit about the BMW, the M4 CS as well. You want to follow me? You can subscribe, of course, everywhere you subscribe for podcasts. B-Pod Studios as well. You can do it there. At WCSX Jim on Twitter. I'm on Instagram as well, all over the place, man. Thank you so much for being part of this, man. We do appreciate you guys every week. That was fun hanging out in the garage. I'm going to get Matt Yoakam on again next week from our friend at Fox here. We're going to talk a little NASCAR as we get closer to the end of the NASCAR season. You guys, be well. Get out there. Drive.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.